called Discipline Over Regrets. Discipline Over Regrets. How many of you like discipline? How many of you like the result of discipline? Right? That's what we're going to talk about. The lack of discipline, what ends up happening in our lives, and I'm getting ahead, is a regret that comes because I should have. I could have. I didn't. And so we want to make sure that we don't face that. But again, this series came because of the new year, because of choices. How many of you know we all have choices? We all have to choose. And the place that we're standing today is because of the choices that we've made in the past, right? We can't cry over spilt milk, as they say. You can. Doesn't do you much good. And then you don't have milk and you've cried. So there's that. I don't know. But you got to wipe your tears and all. It's bad. So just don't cry over it. And let's see what we've done in the past and see how it's worked and how it hasn't worked and go forward with it. That's what the past is for, right? It's like in your car. I've used this before. You guys know. If I drive to where I'm going today for lunch and I only look in the rearview mirror, guess what's going to happen? Me and my family's going to have issues, right? But it's good to have it there to check what's coming from behind, right? To check and see where you've been and where you're going to, right? That's the path. There's good reasons to look back into our past and there's bad reasons to look back into our past, right? You guys with me? There's good reason. Why do I say that? It's good to look back to see what God has done. It's good to look back to see where God has brought me from. It's bad to look in my past and be stuck there because I didn't do something or I did something and I can't let it go and move on. Okay? We need to understand that choices allow us to move on and allow us to change direction. Again, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. If you want this year to be completely different than any year you've ever had, other than just being older, right? If you want to be completely different, then we need to make different choices. We need to choose some different things. We need to put some things down and put some things away, and we need to pick up some things that may be difficult to handle at first. But how many of you know, once you start doing it for a minute, it gets old hat, right? You could do it easily. Like my kids riding bikes or like this. So they bought these Christmas. And I'm squirreling, but it still stays on the point. So for Christmas, they got a gift card, and they both wanted these Heelys, right? Y'all remember Heelys? They're like from a long time ago. My kids like, oh, I gotta have them. So they both used their gift card, and they got them. When they first got them, like they was all, you know, falling over, falling down, couldn't do it. Now you look at them, and they're just like, and they're like, right? Why? Because they did something different, even though it was rough at first, they tried it, but now it's a part of what they are and who they are. They can do it at any time, right? You just be like, Healy. They're like, right? Like, you're not supposed to do it in the store. Stop, right? There's it's amazing, but at first it was very, very hard, very awkward, very difficult. The choices that we have to make in our life, sometimes those choices are very, very hard, very, very awkward, very, very difficult, but once we start doing them, guess what? We're going to be able to do them. It's like praying, right? Prayer. When you first started praying, I was like, I don't really get this, but I hope you hear me. But you know what? Now I know he hears me, and I don't have an issue. I could probably pray for days if I had to, right? I could probably pray for days if I didn't have to. That's just how I could do it because God brings those things, and it's easy now. And the same principle is going to be true with the choices that we make. We're the sum total of those. Today, we're going to make a choice to let go of the past, man. To not look back at different things, but to look forward and maybe do some things that are difficult. Do some things that are hard. The first week in our series that we talked about was purpose over approval, right? Was living God's purpose over the approval of men, okay? And the next thing was important over urgent last week. So, right, you can do what's important and not get to the urgent stuff, or you can do the opposite of that. You can do what's urgent, what I have to take care of because I didn't do the things I should have done. Amen? Today I'm going to introduce the third choice. Today I'm going to introduce that. Let me first ask you a question. Has anybody ever asked you, do you want the good news or the bad news first? I'm good at doing that. I do that all the time. I always want to hear the bad news first so that the good news makes up for the bad news, right? I don't want to hear the good news and then the bad news, be left on a bad note. That's just how I feel about it. But today I'm going to tell you, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Are you ready? You ready for the bad news first? The bad news is that in this life, you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things that are not the way you want it, that are not the way you saw it. How many of you see things one way and it goes some way different and it throws you completely off, right? Right? It happened yesterday. Some of y'all know what that means. I see it going one way and it's completely different. And we're going to have pain. We're going to have issues. We're going to have trials that we're going to go through. Welcome to Victory Church, where we tell you the good news, right? You're going to have issues. You guys like that part? How come you got really quiet at that point? Like, y'all just looked at me like, but I'm going to tell you what, there's some good news to it. We're going to get to that in a minute. You're going to experience pain. We all will. We will all have issues. We'll all have things that come to us out of our control. That we're going to have some issues that are painful that we go through because we caused them ourselves. But there's a lot of stuff that comes to us that we didn't cause, and we're going to have issues. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, I said these things to you so that you may have peace. He wants us to have peace, understanding that in this world, you will have tribulation. You will face issues. You will have hardships. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And again, Jesus, it's great that you've overcome the world, but I'm the one going through these issues. Not if you're where you're supposed to be in him. Not if we live our lives in Christ. Amen? If we follow him, if we walk by the Spirit, we're still going to have issues. We're still going to have problems. But how many of you know there's going to be a peace in the middle of those issues that we shouldn't have? If we continue to look for him, there's going to be peace in the middle of all the things. The New Living Translation says it like this. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's going to be some freak accidents that happen in our life that we just didn't expect, we didn't see coming, right? There's going to be some relationships, a loved one maybe that betrays you or hurts you or does something like that. We're not going to see that coming, right? There may be our company may downsize. You may lose your job and be out and be like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is not good. And lots of pain is going to happen in our lives that is out of our control. But this is the thing. We need to understand that God is in control of everything. And just because something happens that we don't understand or that we don't see doesn't mean that there's not a plan and a purpose and something better that's going to come than that. Right? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with y'all. My wife's next door. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all ready? Before I met my wife, I thought I met the girl that was the one that I wanted. Right? I thought it was the best. Let me tell you something. This is my thought. I can't do this in scripture, but I'm going to tell you in my life, I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Before what God comes to me, the devil throws something in front of you that looks like it should be it. And it's not, right? So don't always just grab onto it and say, this is it, right? Allow God to show you that that's what it is. Amen? Before I met my wife, I thought that was it. Look, I can't do my life without my wife and my girls, y'all. I'm just saying. I love them, right? They're why I do half of the things that I do in my life. And I wouldn't change it for the world. But how many of you know, it was really painful for me when that relationship ended. And I thought that it was, I didn't understand. I was devastated. I didn't understand what was going on. And God said, listen, man, I got something better than that, right? We need to understand God has something better for us, even than when we're standing right now. And just because he gave it to us yesterday, and now I'm not talking about husband and wife, y'all, but even if he gave it to us yesterday, doesn't mean that that's the gift and the best that he has for us today. I mean, you know, there's seasons and there's changes that happen, right? Let me show you how that works. The Israelites, they came to Egypt, right? Because there was a famine and they needed provision. That's how, remember, under Joseph, that's how they came. But then what happens with Moses? He's delivered them out of slavery and out of bondage from the place that God had put them to start. Does that make sense? The blessing that it was there doesn't mean that I'm going to stay right there forever. There's always going to be change, right? There's always, if we're growing, if we're moving forward, there's always going to be change. And how many of you know change hurts sometimes? I remember as a teenager waking up in the middle of the night with my legs hurting so bad. What they call them? Growing pains. Like, well, stop growing, man. I'll just stay short. This hurts, right? Well, I don't want to be 3'2" my whole life, so I'm kind of glad that I grew some, right? I'm kind of glad that pain was there. I didn't like it at the time. And that's what happens with a lot of the things in our life. So you can choose This is one of the things that I want to tell you. You can choose the type of pain that you're going to have in your life. All right? Let me qualify that, right? I can choose to go through discipline and to change and things, or I can choose to have the pain of regret and not being who I should be and what I should do, doing what I should do. I can choose that. Teenagers in the house, you can choose the pain of obeying your parents and doing what they say, even if you don't like it, or you can choose to face the pain of the issues that are going to come down the road because you didn't, right? I try to teach that to my kids all the time. Look, I tell her, I said, if it means me keeping you in my life, I'm be mean all the time. I'd rather be mean to you and not let you go do that and have you tomorrow than have you not mad at me because I made you do this and me not have you, right? That's the pain that I'll take on that one. I would much rather be that to you and have you with me, mad at me. I don't care if you're mad at me. I want you, right? I love you. I don't want you to be mad. I want you to understand. But if I have to choose one or the other, that's what I'm going to choose, right? How many of you ever gotten mad at God because something happened? It's okay. You can be honest. I have gotten mad. Like, I'm not happy right now, God. But later understood exactly why he did what he did. And it made you so happy at that moment, right? We can do that. I figured more parents would say amen at that part, but they didn't say nothing. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. When it comes to your finances, you can choose the pain of living within your means today, or you can choose the pain of battling a mountain of debt tomorrow, right? You can choose to say, I love what Dave Ramsey says, right? He says, live like nobody else today so you can live like nobody else tomorrow, right? Y'all don't know how many places that when I used to live in Louisiana, I did windows, right? I used to rip out old windows and put in new windows. Y'all don't know how many million-dollar homes that I went into that couldn't afford curtains, right? Or that had the top floor blocked off, so they only had the AC the bottom, and they lived in the bottom, but they had the top. So it looked really, really good, but they didn't even use what they had. And they were struggling so far in debt because they wanted to have that appearance, that look. It is crazy when we look at that one. But how many of us do that with other things in our lives? So that we put up the mirror or the facade of things, and we choose to do things that ultimately just hurt us in the end. Amen? Amen. Choose your pain. One of our biggest choices today is this. Am I choosing pain of discipline over the pain of regret? Listen to this thought of a working definition of discipline. I think it's on the screen. It should be on the screen for you. Discipline is choosing between you want what you want now and what you want the most. Choosing what you want now or what you want the most. My kids and I got into this Thursday because my kids really didn't want to go home and eat shrimp salad for dinner. Right, we were having a salad with grilled shrimp in it, and that's what we were having. They really did not want to have that, so they wanted to go to Tijuana Flats. So we went to Tijuana Flats. We ate it. It was amazing. And then Friday, guess what they wanted to do? They wanted to go out to eat Tijuana Flats. I'm like, but wait a minute. We did it yesterday. We were supposed to have shrimp salad. We're having shrimp salad today. Well, they ended up winning out because we had shrimp salad last night, y'all. All right? Because I'm a pushover when it comes to Tijuana Flats. I'm just being honest. But it's one of those principles. You can either have this now or you can have something better later, right? You can have this now or you can have something better later. I want to look at discipline and at what Paul talked about. How many of you know Paul? For those of you who don't know Paul, he was a guy who met the risen Christ. He had already died. Christ had already died and resurrected. Paul encountered him, and it changed his life forever. It's called the Damascus Road Experience, right? And if we look at his life from before and from after, there's a complete and total change. But it came with some very hard choices that he had to make, some very hard decisions he had to make, some very painful decisions he had to make. He chose to stand for Christ no matter what, and because of it, he was beaten time and time and time again. He was stoned. He was put off, and he was shipwrecked. There was all kinds of different things that happened to him in his walk, in his ministry, to do what God had called him to do. But ultimately, he said, I don't care. This is what is most important to me. I'm going to change the ways that I am. I'm going to change the things that I'm doing. Because of that, Paul actually wrote 14 out of the 27 books of the New Testament. And we're going to look at the seventh chapter of Romans. And it also sounds a little bit crazy what he's saying. It sounds kind of like, okay, seriously? But if anybody had a grasp on what a spiritual life was supposed to look like, how many of you know it was Paul, right? How many of what was Paul? He talks about how difficult it was to do the right thing, because there is a war going on inside of us to do what's right and what's wrong. Y'all remember the cartoons with the little angel and the little demon sitting on your shoulder popping things? That's a lot of times that's what happens. It's not an angel and a demon. It's our spirit man and our flesh man fighting against each other, saying, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to do that. Paul says this in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read a couple verses and then skip around a little bit. We're going to do 15, 18 through 19, 24 through 25. It says, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. How many of you can relate to that in your life? I want to do these things. I want to do what's right. But I always find myself falling down. Verse 18 says this, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do is what I keep doing. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. What's he saying? He's saying, I want to do the right thing, but I just don't do it. And sometimes I feel like I can't do it. How many of you try to get rid of something, you try to put something down, and you just can't? You come back to it if you do. You put it down, and then you come back. But for me, I'm just going to be real. For me, it's my attitude, y'all. I get mad like that. And I have to try and I'm doing better, Dwayne. I'm doing a lot better, right? He told me the other day, he said, man, you know, from the time you got here to right now, you're doing so much better with your attitude, man. I was like, thanks, I think, right? I think, right? But it's a true statement. But you know what? I've battled with that my whole life. I really have. God has changed me and has fixed different things. But how many of you know what? When my daughter does something that I think is really, really dumb and I just blow up, you know what? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. My wife, she's the one pulls me back in, right? She's like the Holy Spirit's little sister or something, right? She's like, here, come right back. This way, right? I'm just saying. But what happens, she comes to me and she says, you realize when you say those things, this is the effect that you have. And at that moment, I do, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person ever. But I find myself constantly doing it over and over and over and over. And do you know why I do that? Because because at that time I'm walking by myself and not by the Spirit, honestly. I'm allowing myself to take over and to do things that I never should do. Because you know what? In the back of my mind, you ever been in an argument? You'd be like, I know I shouldn't be saying this. I know I shouldn't be saying this. Boom! I said it, right? Now I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't say this. Watch it. Here it is. There. That's what happens in my mind. That's what Paul is talking about. He's discussing that exact thing, saying, hey, listen, this is what I want to do, but I end up doing this. Paul's not a baby Christian at this moment, y'all. He's not. He says there are things that I battle with constantly. Is it okay to battle with them and keep them? No, we need to get rid of them. We need to give them to God. But we also need to understand we need to strive to do better. We need to strive to fix things. We need to strive to change things. If you want to go out, I'll give you permission. She's like, he told me not to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. No, if you want to go out, I'm not going to be mad, but it's up to you. Paul says this. He says, who can help me do what's right? Who? Only God. What? The answer is Jesus, my Lord. It's not me being stronger. It's not me being better. It's not me working at it really, really hard. It's me giving it to God and allowing only Jesus to do what he can do in our lives. Only his Spirit to lead us and guide us, and us to have one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know the fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. Everybody hates that one. Like, I like all them kind of until that one, right? Like, why? Because that's what I need the most. You know, most of the time we dislike the things in our life that we need the most when it comes to discipline, right? When it comes to letting things go. We were talking about this the other day at the gym, man. We were working out, and somebody said something, and he said, I hate it when people tell me that I need to do something. This is one of those, I probably shouldn't have said it like this right at that moment. I was like, because that's probably what you need to do the most. And he looked at me, he was kind of mad for a second. He's like, you know what, you're right. You know what, you're right. Because some of you know, if you know that you're doing wrong and somebody tells you you're doing wrong, it makes you mad. I'm not. Oh, I know I am. It's a battle. It's that house with no curtains, right? I want to look really good on the outside, and I want to do... But I refuse to take care of the issue or the problem that's inside. Over time, when we start allowing God to change things and move and do things, we actually start seeing the difference. We start wanting to have the change happen, right? So it's like anything else we do in life, right? I started working out probably 2 months ago back here, or like a month and a half ago back after the thing. Do you know what? If I don't get up and go to the gym, I'm miserable, right? If I don't go and hang out with them, I'm miserable for the rest of the day. And I don't know why that is. Why? Because I'm hating it while I'm there. I'm like, can we stop for a minute? You know, and I don't like it at all. But do you know what? After I'm done with it, I feel so much better. My wife's like, you need to work out every day, because I came home and I cleaned out one whole room, and I came out and I did this the next day, and then the next day I folded all the laundry, and the next day, she's like, go to the gym, right? That's why? I feel different afterwards, right? I feel better. Why? Because I'm doing the thing that's right, and it's actually helping me, even though it feels like it's hurting. Like yesterday morning, I got up to go meet the guys, and I couldn't even hardly walk. I was like this, trying to get from the morning before. That's a good thing, right? You say, that's not. That's a good thing. That means I've done something. That means I'm activating the muscles that I can't move right now, which was a lot of them yesterday, felt like. It's fixing things, right? It's going to cause me to be healthy, ultimately what I want. It's going to cause me to be where I want to be the most, not what I want to do now. The discipline of now is going to keep me from having the regret of I didn't do that and I should have. I'm not there for my kids. I can't play with my kids. I can't do this. I can't do that with my kids because I haven't taken care of my health this whole way, right? And I'm wishing I hadn't waited this long to change. How many of you know that happens too in our lives? When we actually do change, we're like, why did we not do this sooner? Like, why? What was I waiting on? They say that the fear of, the pain of, what that change, well, I can't even say what they say. They say it, it's not me. That the fear of change keeps us, but until the pain of change is less than the pain of where we are, we won't move. We won't leave. And I said that all jacked up, but you understood what I meant, right? It's like a bird in a nest. The mom makes it so uncomfortable, so they leave. But once they leave, they don't want to come back, right? Once they get out of that nest, they're like, man, this is amazing. Flying is awesome. I mean, I don't know that that's what they say. I would imagine. But that's, because they don't come back. They go and they start eating their own stuff, getting their own things, doing what they do. But they never wanted to leave that point. But it took the mom being difficult on them to push them out, right? How many of you know it's uncomfortable on the mom too, right? It's uncomfortable on the mom too. The nest hurts her just as much as it hurts the kids. But she does that. Why? To make them grow, to help them grow, to help them see what they can actually be, because they don't understand it, right? They don't understand it. With the help of Christ, we will choose discipline over regret.
Paul takes us on a journey all throughout the scripture. And when you watch it and you see from where it starts and when he first comes to Christ and all the way through the scriptures, we see the process that happens in his life and the different things that goes on. Or reading in the book of Acts and how he went and did all these different, went to these different places and spoke to these different people. And he talks about how he's got issues and problems. And then he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, he tells us exactly what he does, right? Because how many of you know you're going to fall down? You're going to mess up. But how many of you know it's up to you to make sure that you continue on, right? It's your choice. Like, and now God strengthens us, he empowers us, and I'm not saying that we're the ones that do it. He does it through us. But we have to continue to stand up and keep walking every time we fall down, right? Every time I try to do something and it fails miserably, doesn't mean I'm supposed to stop doing that thing. It means I need to try it a different way. I need to get up and do some change. I need to do some things. Paul relates our relationship and our lives to the analogy of a race. Verse 24, it says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one wins the prize? That means there's no participation trophies, what that one means. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. So it says, run so that you may obtain it. Run, so continue on and keep pushing yourself to be better today than you were yesterday. How many of you know, so all of the football players and the people who run track and at the Olympics and they do all these different sports, how many of you know just because they got the gold doesn't mean they stop? Like, I got the gold today, so I just don't got to do it no more. No, what do? The very next thing. Man, all football team. I'm going to use LSU because I'm an LSU fan. They just won. But what Kojo, what he kept saying all the time, even after they won the national championship, he's like, we're going to give it a little bit. We're going to go right back to it. Why? Because it doesn't stop. Just because I did right today doesn't mean I can quit, because I'm going to have a chance again tomorrow to mess everything up royally, you know? I'm going to have a chance to mess things up, but I'm going to have a chance to do them right. And I can look in the past and say, okay, this worked well, let's do that again. Or this didn't work well, I ain't going to do that. I want to change. I want to be changed. And a lot of times the change comes because we discipline ourselves. What do they call it in the sporting event? They have to have discipline to do what they do, to work out every day, to run, to lift weights, to eat right, to all the ingredients that go together. It's not just one thing that they do and they're good. And what happens is when they stop doing that one thing, guess what happens? They're not as good anymore. There's somebody else better, right? And I'm not saying that so that we compare ourselves to each other. What I'm telling you to do is compare yourselves to where you were yesterday, but to keep looking forward to be better. Don't allow yesterday to hold you back or to bring you down. It's over, right? Whether you did good, whether you did bad, today is a new day. What's that song? What have you done for me lately, right? Just because you did that yesterday doesn't mean today's a new day, right? Just because I did this awesome thing for God yesterday doesn't mean I can stop today. I have to continue on. I have to keep going. I have to keep pushing on to run the race. This is what it says in verse 25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, that they do not receive a perishable wreath, but an imperishable. What does that mean? So that we don't get the rewards that's here, but we get a reward in heaven that's going to be there for us always. Right? I'd much rather you not give me an attaboy and God take care of me. I like y'all. I like your attaboys, but I don't want them if it's going to take away from what God has for me. Amen? That's why a lot of times, running to win. Next point. We don't run one row. I can't even talk now. We don't run to win something earthly, a prize, a plastic trophy, a ribbon. We run so that we can receive a heavenly reward, is what Scripture says. Time and time again. Just because people don't congratulate you on what you've done doesn't mean you need to stop doing it. Just because people don't see the value in what you're doing from beside you, even though you know that you should be doing it, continue to do it. Continue to do it. Again, go back to the prior weeks where we're looking for the purpose of God instead of the approval of people.
It's funny how all these things run together, all these choices run together. Every time I run, every time I do it, I'm going to do it with everything I have. I'm going to run to win, right? I'm going to do everything I can to continue on and to push on and to even push myself past the point that I think I can do for God. How many of you know that's important? How many of you know that you can do more than you think you can? I've seen a video of this big dude lifting a helicopter up off of a guy. Like it had fallen over. You probably look it up now, but it's okay. It's on YouTube. He goes down and he picks this thing up and he lifts it up and they pull the guy out. How many of you know that's not possible? How many of you know if you told him, hey, go lift that helicopter when nothing was happening, he wouldn't be able to do it. But for some reason in that moment, he was able to. Why? Because he pushed himself and said, I got to do this. Do you know what? If we would look at our Christian walk and say, I got to do this every day, do you know what we could accomplish? Do you know the things that we could do? I'm going to run the race, man. I'm going to come into God's house with an expectation of change in my life. Instead of being mad because Toby said something about something I'm dealing with, I need to look at it and say, you know what? Maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe I need to work on it. Maybe I need to work on it. Because you know what? I'm only telling you guys stuff because I love you. Or I wouldn't tell you. How many of you know I don't like people being mad at me? I don't. But if I don't say something and something happens in that area, I'm going to blame myself because I never said nothing. Right? That's how I feel. I'm going to come into this house with an expectation. I'm going to expect God to speak to me. I'm going to expect to glorify him with everything I say, everything I do. I'm going to come in here and worship him during a song service. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to do whatever I feel comfortable doing. But I even if I don't feel comfortable doing it, man, how many of you know we're called to do some things that are uncomfortable sometimes? I guarantee you, I'm going to use somebody else because I'm not going to use me. I guarantee you every week that Aaron stands up there, he doesn't feel like being up there every time, right? I bet you there's some times that he's like, man, I wish I just don't feel like being up here today. I just don't feel like doing it. But you know what he does? It's called a sacrifice of praise. And I'm not picking on Aaron. You could look at everybody up here and use that same thing, right? We don't always feel like doing what we're supposed to do, but how many of you know that probably is the week that somebody out here gets completely and totally their life changed because of what's happening here? And that feeling that he feels. Do you like me using you? I like using you better than me because I'm just like, yeah, him, look at him, right? That's the exact week that somebody comes in and her life is totally changed. And that feeling he feels inside of him is the enemy trying to keep him from doing what he can do and keep him from reaching out, keeping me from speaking to that person that I run into that needs to hear God, that needs to know God feels him on the outside of these walls. And because I'm uncomfortable with it, I'm just not going to do it. Doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Doesn't mean God's not going to use somebody else to do it. It means that you don't get to be a part of what God is doing in that moment. And how many of you know, when you reach out to somebody, when God touches somebody and you get to be a part of it, there's a blessing that comes in your heart when you see what God has done. And it's like shake and bake. I helped, right? I helped. Some of y'all don't know that. It's an old one. That's a really old one. Christopher's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't use the little country accent the little kid had, so there's that. But anyway, we have to wake up and say, today I'm serving God. Today I'm going to do this. Today I'm going to push myself so that I do more than I did yesterday. Why? Not so that I can brag that I can do more. Not because God's going to love me more if I do more, but so that I can be more effective and I can grow so I can help other people grow. I've got two application questions for you. What time is it? I need to quit in a minute. I'm going to rush through these. Not really. Just kidding. Y'all, right now, y'all don't know if I rush through it or not. So there's that. The first question for you is a really simple question. It's not very deep and theological, but it's just a simple question. What do you want most out of your life? Now that I'm talking to you from the aspect of being a Christ follower, being a Christian, and pushing yourself, but this principle works in every area, every aspect of your life. What do you want the most? What do you want the most? What are you allowing it to stop you from? What are you allowing to stop you from it? What do you want most in your life? Some of you would immediately say, I want to get close to God. Some of you would say, I want to get in better shape. I want to lose weight, or I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to do this, or this is the thing. It's all good. And some of us are like, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But when it comes time to make the decisions to do it, do we honestly want that in our life? To be 100% honest, I'm going to pay off my credit cards and get rid of my debt. Let's do this. I want my marriage to be better. I want this to happen. I want this to happen. And how many of you know it's really easy to say the things that we want? And as Paul says, it's hard to actually do the steps that it takes to do that. I've been trying to get out of debt since I've been married, y'all. It's almost 18 years. I'm not going to tell you how it's working out for me right now, but I am doing better than I have at other points in my life. What do you want the most? And this is the thing that I want to encourage you to do and challenge you to do. That thing that you want the most, start working towards it every day. And when you've accomplished that, when you've gotten to that point, and hey, this is doing really, really well, now what do I want the most? Not forgetting this part, this thing that I've done. Keep doing those things, but adding to it. And that's why I tell you guys, man, like, we need to work on things consistently in our lives. That we, until the day we stand in front of God, we haven't arrived. There's more that we can do. There's things that we can change. There's people that we can reach. We need to continue to do it over and over and over. And then the second choice that I have for you. And I missed something in my notes because I had a really cool thing that I was going to say, and I didn't. It's not in here. Something happened to it. I'm going to tell you guys this about debt, about crying. Think about this. We're about to start another class here at the church, right? We're about to start another class. We've got a couple of people in there, but there are some opportunities for you to come and to be a part of that. What does that class teach? It teaches us the biblical principles of being a good steward. Right? It doesn't teach us about giving. It doesn't teach us about, although those are in there, right? This book isn't about that. It's about being a good steward of what God has put into your hands and being faithful and accountable with what you have. Nick is sitting right here on the front row. If you want to be a part of that class, because they're about to start it back up again and they have a couple of spots that backed out, come see him after church today because they're about to start the class. So if you want to be a part of it, come find out what that's about. And get in on that, because I'm going to tell you this, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your kids' life, your grandkids' life. It's going to change your life down the road if you take these principles and you apply them to your life. I mean, you know, you can take the principles, not apply them. That's what happens, right? It matters most to me. So I'm going to take this class and I'm going to take everything that it's taught me and I'm going to put it on the shelf in case I need it later. And I'm going to live my life the way I live it. I mean, you know, that's what we do with the majority of the stuff that we get, right? Majority of the things, unless we use it, unless we put it into action, it does us absolutely no good to have it, right? But I'm going to tell you, if you will do it, it will change your life forever. How do you know? He's like, well, you haven't changed your life. No, but I'm going to use him. I see Nick and Linda's life, and I see the principles that they teach me, and I see the principles in their life that they walk out, and the principles that they do, and I see where those principles have brought them, right? And I see that they not only say those things, but they walk them out in their everyday life. Sorry to use you as a point out like that, man, but sorry. It's true, right? The principles, the things work. Same thing with exercise and diets and those different things like that. They don't do any good unless you use them and unless you live by them. It's not about a change to get me out of this situation. It's about a change in my life forever, right? Because how many of you know, I think, I'm just going to say this. This is what I think. It's my opinion, okay? I think God leaves us in some situations because we haven't changed. And if he bails us out, we're going to be right back there again, right? Like washing a pig, right? Take a pig out, clean him up. What happens? He's going to be right back in the mud, right? Why would you wash him then, right? In my mind, why would God bail me out of this situation if I'm going to be right back there again and I'm not going to learn anything from it? I don't bail my kids out of situations if they're not going to learn from them, unless they're going to really get hurt bad, right? So why if we get our principles and our thought process and our learning from God, would he do different from us in that aspect, right? Just a thought. I'm going to stop meddling. I'm going to ask y'all another question. You ready? What do you need to choose? This is question number two. What do you need to choose to achieve what you want the most? So this is what I want. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to go in my ministry. This is where I want to go in my life. This is where I want to go in my relationship. This is where I want to go with my finances, with my health, with all these different. This is where I want to go. What do I need to do? What choices do I need to make to get to there? Because there's going to be some choices that I choose that are going to bring me the right way and some choices that are going to bring me the wrong way. And I'm going to be honest with you, on a lot of those issues and things, the main thing you need to choose is the people you allow to be in your life. The people you allow to speak into your life about what needs to happen, right? Sorry, my phone just beeped. My horn went off. Hold on. Shh. Thought I turned it off. Sorry. What do I need to choose to help me get to what I want the most? If I really want to be there, what choices, what hard things do I need to decide? Do I need to choose? Do I need to put in front of me and say, this is what's going to keep me from getting where I want to be? Do you want to know what it says in the scripture? It says, don't be ignorant of the devices of Satan, right? Don't be ignorant, and you can use that same ignorance in any aspect, not just say in any aspect of your life. What devices, what things are going to come in front of me that are going to keep me from being who I should be, doing what I should be, keep me from what I want the most? And be aware of them. So that, you know what, I have a plan for when I'm supposed to go home and save money and eat healthy, and somebody comes up to me and says something. What am I going to say? Because some of you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. My kids are going to come up and tell me that like every time. Dad, can we go out and eat? We're like, we're already at home. Like, why would we go out to eat? There's a whole fridge full of stuff, right? Yeah, but we want to go out. No. This is what we're doing. This is, and allowing people to understand the goals that you're doing in your life. Some people will laugh. Some people will be like, that's stupid. That's okay. It's not your goal. It's my goal. And that's where I'm going. All right? And this is how I want to get there. And if you're my friend, if you care about me, if you love me, you're going to help me get to that point. Because how many of you know, it's so much easier if you have somebody going on the journey with you, right? Yeah. It's so much easier if there's somebody standing beside you saying, come on, man, don't worry about messing up yesterday. It's going to be okay. And do you know what? As the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters of Christ, that's what we're supposed to be doing to everybody that's come in contact with. Instead of kicking them and saying, yeah, I told you you couldn't do that. Saying, hey, man, maybe this is why it messed up. Maybe let's try it this way. Let's do it this way. You know one of my favorite parts? And this is squirrel. You know one of my favorite parts in the book of Acts is? Right? And you won't notice it, probably. Now that I told you, you might notice it unless somebody's told you about this already. There's one point in the scripture where Luke, who writes the book of Acts, is they did this, they did this, they did this, he did that, he did that. And then it turns and says, we did this, we did that, we did this. There's a point in there where it wasn't about other people doing it. It was Luke saying, this is what's right to do, and I'm going to be a part of it, right? We need to understand that it's not that you doing that. It needs to be us doing it together. How can I help you reach the goals that you have for you? If I don't know your goals, I can't reach them, right? If I don't know where you're trying to go, I can't help you with it, right? We need to have accountability. We need to have people in our life. So you say you want to get really close to God. What do we need to do, man? Choose a Bible reading plan. Something that you're going to read. Something that you're going to do. Me and my family, like I said, since we started Luke, we read all the way through Luke. We finished Romans. Now we're in 1 Corinthians. And we read every night. Doesn't matter what's happening. We stop everything. Last night I was studying and getting things ready and done because I did the urgent over the important, right? Remember? I talked about that. Sorry, Aaron. Anyway, I was studying. I was finishing getting some stuff together and doing some different things that I needed to do. And it was time for my kids to go to bed. And they're like, all right, we're going to bed. I'm like, no. I'm going to stop. I'm going to come in. We're going to read because that's what we do. That's an important thing. Why is that important to me? Because one of the things I want most in my life is my kids to know the word of God, to know the promises of God, and to know the freedom that's in this book, and without ever hearing it, without ever going through it. And man, we do a good job. They do a good, amazing job. And I'm not taking away from the kids program and what they teach over there. But how many of you know there's more that they can learn than what they're going to learn on a Sunday here? And the same principle is with you guys, right? If you only get the word of God in you for an hour or a half hour when I'm speaking on Sunday morning with a half hour of worship or whatever, and this the only time you get the word of God inside of you or God's word inside of you, then you're starving yourself spiritually, right? You want to do that physically. You wouldn't eat here today and then not eat again until next week, right? Or maybe snack once or twice throughout the week. How many of you know God's word is most important? It's more important than a lot of things that we have in our lives. We need to take time and put that in there. Not as a law of I have to do this so God will love me. God loves you whether you read his word or not. He sent his son, right? Before you were even here, he sent his son. He loves you. It's not about that. It's about me. It's about me showing my love to him. How much time I spend with him. How much time I want to be in his presence. How much time I give to him instead of me. It's the difficult decisions. I'm going to worship. I'm going to make what God wants a priority. I'm going to make sharing his love, grace, and mercy. Again, I told you guys last week, man, one of the things that April and I said, man, if the doors were open at church, we're going to be there. We did that long before we were pastors. Before we were just helpers. We said, okay, this is how we're going to do our life, and this is how we're going to. I know God has blessed us for it. I know God has brought me to where I'm at today because of choices that I made. I know I've made choices that have probably set me back farther from where God actually wants me to be. But that's all right. You know what? I can't change them. I can't fix them. I can just make sure I don't make them again. Amen? Learn from them. Get together. Put people in your life. You wanna get in shape? Make a goal. What do you want most? Get in shape. Well, make a plan. What do you need to do to get there? I need to get some exercise equipment, or I need to start eating healthy and buying some different things, making some different meals, looking some different places. I want to achieve different things in my marriage, in my relationships. I need to work on my communication. I need to definitely spend time together. I need to definitely see a counselor if it's needed. Maybe I want to get out of debt. Again, Crown class is coming soon, man. Come be a part of that. If you've already gone through it, you say, well, I've already gone through it, but I still need help. Get your book back out because you bought it and go through it again. Go through it again. You don't have to join the class. You can. You don't have to. You can go through it and read it at home. Every now and then, April and I bust ours out. I'm like, okay, wait, we got to have a refresher. This isn't working, right? What did it say? Again, I encourage you, man, get a part of the class that's coming up if you can. But this is what I want you to understand today, man. We choose our pain. Say, well, it's not easy to go to a gym, and memberships are expensive, and counseling is expensive, and all these things, you know, they take this and they take that, and I'm going to just say again, choose your pain, you know? You can choose the pain of those things, those issues that you said were excuses, the excuses that you said were reasons all the way. Or you can say, you know what? This is important to me. So no matter what, I'm going to do everything I can to make this happen. Right? Choose the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. No one ever on their deathbed says, I'm sure glad I was real mean to those people, or I'm sure glad I still don't like them, or I'm still glad I didn't eat better, or I'm still glad I, what is it that they have? I sure wish I would have done this. I wish I would have taken care of myself better so I could be here longer, or I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have taken care of my finances so now that I'm leaving, my family would be taken care of better than what they are now, right? There's so many regrets that people have, man. So choose discipline. What do you want the most? Again, Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The New Living Translation says, so I run with purpose every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do.
I'm going to tell you like this. One way I'm going to talk to you about it, and then I'm going to stop. Think about this. Imagine all you want to do is walk out your front door and have a very beautiful front lawn, right? How many of you want that? Beautiful front yard, right? Well, you walk out your step, your door, and you have to get to your car, you have to take a right and go down the sidewalk and then go down this way and then come back around this way, and your car's right there in the front. And today, although you really want that lawn to be very, very nice, you're in a hurry. You don't really have time. You're tired, so you don't want to make that walk around, so you cut across the grass. What's one day going to do, right? What's one time going to do? It's not going to do anything. But the problem is once you've done it that one time, guess what's going to end up happening? It's going to start to be a habit. And then one day you're going to step out your front door and you're going to see a path walking right down the center of your grass. And you're going to say, what has happened to my lawn? Now, lawn, that's kind of a silly explanation. But think about your life and the decisions that you have to make. The decisions that in order to do it properly or correctly or the right way or the way that's going to benefit the most is uncomfortable, it takes up time, and it's not as easy to do, right? And then think about the steps. Well, if I keep doing it this way, what's going to happen? I'm not going to arrive at the place that I want to really be. I'm not going to have what I want most because I did now what was easy. I did now what I felt like doing instead of what I really should have done. And you can use that principle in every aspect of our life, especially our ministry to God, because it's not easy to do. It's not easy to share. And with that, I'm gonna be quiet. I want you guys to think of that. What do I want most and what do I need? Guys, you can come on back up. Aaron, you can come on back. Whoever's coming. What do I want most? And what do I have to do to achieve it? I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Today we have a choice. Today we have a choice, man. We can walk on the sidewalk to get there, or we can cut through the grass. We can make the easy decisions, the easy choice, or we can choose to live a life of discipline. We can choose to live a life that may be more difficult than other times. Heads bowed, eyes closed, you be honest and say, hey, I need to stop taking the easy way. I've got some choices, some decisions that I need to make that are going to be difficult. I need to put some discipline in my life in certain ways, in the way that I talk, with the people that I have in my life, and the things that I do, so that I can get to what God wants most for me in my life, to what I want the most. And it's what He wants. You be honest and say, hey, there's some things that I need to change. Just put your hand up and put them right back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all over, man. I think if truth be told, everybody would have their hand up. There's some things that we need to change in our walk with Christ, in our walk with God. There's some priorities we need to reorganize, prioritize in our life. We need to focus on some things. Heavenly Father, I ask today, as you see our hearts, you know our issues and our problems, you would help us, Father God, walk the way you've called us to. Let us take the things that we need to change. Holy Spirit, show us what they are. Allow us to walk in them. Allow us to change. You be honest today and say, hey, man, my relationship with God, I've never given my life to Christ, but I need to. I've never really given Him my life. And I know that I need the change. I know I need things to be different. You be honest and just put your hand up. Say, I need to accept Christ today. Thank you. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you. Somebody else. I want to say this prayer out loud. Scripture says this. It says, if we confess with our mouth, believe with our heart, and confess with our mouth, that we will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I want you guys to all repeat after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry today for where I'm at. I understand you created me for a purpose, for a plan, to be with you.
You sent your son to die so that I could have freedom, so that I could have new life, so that I could have you. And I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And let's give those people who prayed that prayer today a hand. Let's rejoice with them. I want to encourage you that things should change and will change as long as you allow God to help you with it. And there's one thing that we forget. I'm just going to be real with y'all for a minute. There's one thing that we forget is that there has to be a change. There has to be repentance. John the Baptist preached it. Baptism for the remission of sins. Repent, repent. Repenting means stopping the direction that I'm in and turning and doing the other, going the other way. Doing a 180. Teaching my daughter to skateboard. She's doing 180s. Means she's like, I can't do it. It's hard. Every time I try to turn, I keep going that way. You know what? Sometimes it's difficult to turn and to change, but you can do it. You can do it. And just so you know, you're not alone in it. I want you to do this for me. Take that communication card that's in the seat in front of you, and I want you to fill it out and put on there, I gave my life to Christ. I made a new commitment, or I recommitted my life. Why is that? So that we can pray with you, so that we can be there. And if you need some help, some encouragement, man, don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to reach out. I don't have all the answers. I don't have most of the answers, I don't think. But I can point you to what the Word says about certain things and let you talk to God about it and let Him change. And we can also, we have people here that can listen. I'm not a very good listener. I'm a real good talker. But we have people that are good at that, and that we can make sure that you're not alone in it. Amen? Oh, well, stand up. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to come back and dismiss you guys, man.
I lean not on my own understanding.